that you maybe have, and it's neat when you have these places that also have multiple milestones in your life, maybe a place where you were married or where you went to college or where you first met your spouse or, you know, and something about these places. Well, North Bend, Oregon has a special place for us to the birth of our son and now his birth into Christ here this last week. And we're so blessed that he's a part of this church family. And what a great responsibility that you have to him to help him to continue to grow as a disciple of Christ. And the responsibility we have to continue helping you. And you know, one thing when we were studying and talking about it the Sunday night before he got baptized, you know, we talked about all the different things and read scripture. And I was talking about, you know, when you become a Christian and you're baptized and you receive the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit overlays your gifts. And you become a disciple. And you know, this idea of disciple, you know, thinking about the disciples in the Bible, that's what we are. We are disciples of Christ, and saying as a disciple, you have a purpose and you have a responsibility to use your gifts to edify the body and to advance the kingdom. And he got all excited, eyes lit up. He said, "That's so awesome." And I was like, "Yes, it is." And so it's so awesome, but to say that you guys are a part of that. You know, we're blessed that the upbringing he had in Oklahoma and then the influence of the body there, and now for you to continue to help us, to help him to be a disciple. And so, will you commit to that?
Amen.
For me, at least, and for him, most importantly. And so, and for the kingdom, and I will do my best to do the same for you and your children as well. And so, what a blessing to have a church that we can do that. Well, we're at the end, well, not the end, but the end of the road, of our road study. We've been 14 weeks through the book of Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, and where the days after the resurrection, after the death of Christ, and coming to grips with the reality of the resurrected Lord and Savior. Well, we just looked at the end of this last week, how Jesus was recognized at the breaking of the bread. And at the realization that this Lord was alive, the disciples that he had met, had left Jerusalem, going back home to Emmaus. That's why a lot of times this is called the Road to Emmaus chapter. These were leaving, wondering what was going to happen next, and then their eyes were opened as Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them, and then their hearts were burning, and their first response was to get up and run back into Jerusalem to go tell the other disciples that were waiting and wondering about their Lord, if he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, if he was the king, if he was the Christ, and he is the Christ. And they go back and tell them, and then Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you," and reveals himself, and they're able to recognize him, says, "Look, touch my skin and let me eat something. Let me show you that I am back. I am resurrected in the flesh here." And then last week we looked at that he commissions them. He commissions them to say, "You're going to go and preach in all nations the repentance and forgiveness of sins, but don't worry, you won't be alone. You don't have any reason to be afraid, because I'm going to send you the power from on high. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to be with you, to give you the power to overcome that fear, so that you can be a fearless witness." To be a fearless witness. And in this last few verses here of Luke chapter 24, we now see Jesus leading them out to the vicinity of Bethany. I was excited about getting into some of the passages and some of the things here at the end of this reading here, which we're going to get there. But when I got to, I didn't go very far down the road here on the scripture. And I thought, what is Bethany? What does Bethany have to do? And why Bethany? And what has happened at Bethany that they mentioned that they were in the vicinity of Bethany? Well, I don't know what you know about the town of Bethany, but it was a town just outside of Jerusalem, about a mile and a half, just a little ways out of the area of Jerusalem. Well, Bethany, at that time, Bethany was also known, Bethany meant house of mercy. And what happened in Bethany was people that had leprosy or people that were kicked out of Jerusalem would end up and gather somewhere. And if house of misery means there's a lot of sadness. And so we learned that there were actually some lepers that were living there, and a story that we're going to read here in a little bit. But that it was not known as a wonderful place to go. It's kind of like, well, we're going to Jerusalem. Where do you live? You live in Bethany? Oh, Bethany, a place of misery. Well, it was known as that. And what else happened at Bethany that we know of? Well, I've given you the answers up there. If we go to John chapter 11, this is where Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, along with Mary and Martha, lived. And Jesus had become very good friends with them, but it had come news to him as Jesus was away that Lazarus was sick, and they called out to him, to Jesus, to say, come, and come to the one that you love. He's sick and he's not doing well. And we know that Jesus, for some reason that the disciples didn't understand, but he understood, did not just rush back to Bethany to help his friend Lazarus. He actually says, Lazarus let me back up here. Verse 4. This sickness will not end in death, though it is for the God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And we learn about that as he's waiting, Lazarus does finally die. And then in verse 14, Lazarus is not dead. He says, for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And so they go back to Bethany, where now Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And Martha runs up to him and says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. And she says, yeah, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But he says, no, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she says, I do believe that you are the Christ, the King, the Son of God, who was to come into this world. And then he gets closer to the house, and now Mary is there. And Mary comes out to him and says the same thing that her sister said. Mary says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, seeing her weeping and seeing her sorrow in this town of misery, is deeply moved. And he himself cries, joins them in their sorrow. And they say, see how he loved him. Jesus, deeply moved, comes to the tomb where they had laid him. He says, take away the stone. Take away the stone. And he calls out, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walks out. So this is one major thing that happened in Bethany. And from this time on, Bethany, no longer house of misery. To this day, there is a town there called Al-Azariah, or La-Azariah, Lazarus, meaning the place of Lazarus. No longer place of misery, but place of life and of resurrection and of hope. What else happened at Lazarus? Go into chapter 12. He's still there at Bethany. It says 6 days before Passover, Jesus is there where Lazarus lived, where he had raised him from the dead. This is where Jesus is anointed as the King. He was proclaimed at the resurrection of Lazarus, where Martha says, you are the Christ. You are the King. And what kind of King is this? The King that brings life, that brings resurrection, that brings restoration, that brings redemption. And now he is reclining at, and in Matthew's account, it actually says that's the house of Simon the leper. Probably someone, he's not have leprosy anymore, but he was known as the one who had leprosy. Probably one that Jesus had healed from leprosy. And now he's eating at his house. He still hasn't been able to ditch that nickname, Simon the leper. But he's reclining at the table with Simon the leper. And while he's sitting there and reclining there eating this meal, Mary, verse 3, Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she pours it on Jesus' feet and wipes her feet with her hair, and the house is filled with fragrance and perfume. The heading on this, and maybe in your Bible, says Jesus is anointed at Bethany. anointed as king, and Christ is Messiah. Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the king. So here Christ is proclaimed in Bethany as the Christ, the one who brings resurrection. Here he is at Bethany, the one who's been anointed as king. And in John chapter 12, verse 12, it is where he is hailed and proclaimed as king. On verse John 12, 12, the next day the great crowd had come for the feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to him shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed the King of Israel!" Jesus has found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, the disciples here, they didn't know what was going on. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things. Only after he's glorified. Well, that builds up to now where they are in Bethany here in Luke 24. This is what happens. They didn't quite understand when that was happening, that this was the hailing of the king, that he had been anointed as king, that he had been proclaimed as Christ the king. They didn't know about this until he was glorified. And in Luke 24, 50 and following, we're going to see him become glorified and exalted and hailed as king. On the pew there, you might see these little white, hopefully enough for everybody, these little white cards here, bookmarks. This is some readings. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And for many, this is Palm Sunday. This is Palm Sunday, the day that the Lord was proclaimed, hailed Hosanna the King. And so I encourage you to, this is some pre-Easter readings to start with today and to prepare our hearts and minds for celebrating the resurrection of our Lord next week. You know, we gather together each Lord's Day to remember the Lord. You know, we take the Lord's Supper. It's not just a celebration. It's not just a mindset. You know, we come and we remember the Lord. Yes, remember, but also to embody it, to partake in it, to take up the body and the blood, to put ourselves, to come in contact with the Lord. And then it's intended to form us and to transform us, to shape how we live. Is that right? Is that right what we say, what the Lord's Supper does? And you know, the Lord's Supper is a time where we could say we remember the death of Christ. We remember it, we embody it, allow it to transform us. You know, the baptism that I showed of pain, the baptism that you participate in, is where we remember the Lord and we remember his burial. And we are embody the burial of Christ. And it transforms us. It's very formative. And you know, as the church, we set apart the gathering of the saints. You know, we gather together as church and we remember that we are here because of the resurrection. We are only the church because of the resurrection. And so we remember that every time we go, that yes, Jesus is alive. He is our King. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. This is our real reality because of the resurrection. And we remember that and we embody the resurrection as resurrected people. And it transforms us. You know, it's not meant just to be just one day or one event. These one days and these one events, each week and this moment around this is meant to remember and to embody and to transform us and to form us into God's people. But it is a daily time into God's Word, a daily walking, to be daily remembering the Lord and daily to be embodying who we are as people who have experienced the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, to then form and shape how we live. So I encourage you to allow God's Word, I mean, hopefully every day, but this week, to transform you. You know, we allow God's Word, His Holy Spirit, we allow the Gospels and the Prophets and the Psalms to transform us. You know, these readings this week we'll talk about, today's reading is about this passage that I just read about the triumphal entry. You know, Thursday, the scriptures will look at the Lord's Supper. Friday we'll look at his death. And Sunday, hopefully you return or wherever you gather this next Sunday to celebrate the risen Lord. So I encourage you, that's for your use to embody that, not to remember to participate in that. So here we are in Lazarus, here we are in Bethany. They come to Bethany. It says, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, where Lazarus had been raised from the dead, where he had been anointed as king, and where he had been hailed and proclaimed as king. We see the road coming back to Bethany. See, the road began in Jerusalem, where he was killed, and the disciples left, and they were on their way to Emmaus, so the road took us down to Emmaus. The Lord met them on the road to Emmaus, which sent them back to Jerusalem, back to the disciples, and then where do they go? Back out to Bethany. So he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, where the gospel revealing began, where the gospel story of Jesus, the pointing towards Jesus, towards heaven and earth, heaven began. It says he blessed them. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hand and he blessed them. I don't know what the symbol of lifting up the hands does to you, what it shows you, or what it points towards. And if I was to stand here and do this, it points towards that door. Or if I'm pointing down, or someone's on the street going, you're pointing towards, but the hands were lifted up. And they would have remembered and thought of many things, as I thought of many things, as the hands lifted up. What else does that make me think of in God's Word? It's the posture of the priest, of Moses and Aaron, when they blessed the people, they lifted up hands, and the blessing is lifting up to point towards God, that God, you bless the people, and people, you give your attention to God, and it's this attention to God and God's attention on the people to be focused on lifting up the people before God and God's attention to rest on them. I think about an awesome story of Moses and the Israelites fighting the Amalekites. And do you remember that story about lifted up hands? As long as his hands were lifted up, the Israelites were defeating the Amalekites. But every time his arms grew weary, the Amalekites began to overcome the Israelites. And they began to notice that. Aaron and his other partner noticed that and said, we got to keep his arms lifted up. We got to keep the attention pointing on God because God is bringing the victory. It's not on our own power. We got to lift his hands up. And so they got on each side of him and kept his arms lifted up. And their arms became tired and they all going down. And every time their arms went down, the Amalekites were overcoming the Israelites. And so they put these two big stones around them to rest them. He could keep his arms up. And Aaron and I think Elihu could just take a break. But he's got to keep his arms lifted up. And he lifted, and here Jesus is with his disciples. He leads them out to Bethany, the place not of misery, but the place of resurrection, where he was proclaimed as king, where he was hailed as king, where he was anointed as king. And he prays to God for them. And blessed them, praying for them to acknowledge and know the presence of God. What an awesome thing. And he may have said a very awesome prayer of blessing. I encourage all of you to pray on behalf of others. You know, that's one thing that we have the blessing to do, is to bless others. To give your blessing to your children. To give your blessing to your friends, to your spouses, to your family. To bless them, to point them toward God and ask God to bless them. And he may have, as he's leading the disciples out to Bethany, he lifts up his hands and he may have said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord look upon you and give you peace. What a beautiful prayer of blessing. To pray that prayer of blessing. You know, in Oklahoma, we worked with a lot of families, and one of the things that the Lord led us to is that I encourage families when they have their newborn baby. You know, when do I start kind of teaching my kid about the Lord? Well, when do I start preparing them for the Lord? Well, if you know you're pregnant, start now. And when that baby's born, the first thing I tell them to do is start praying this blessing over them. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord look upon you with favor and peace. You pray that prayer all the time. If you haven't given that prayer, that blessing to your children, no matter how old they are, do it. Call them up and say, I got something to say to you. And they're like, what? What's wrong with you? But this is what the example of the Lord here at this moment. And he gives them a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. So he comes out and blesses them. And then he is exalted. And he is glorified. It says, while he was blessing them, while he is giving them blessings, he left them. Taken up. At the place where he was anointed as king, the place where he was hailed as king, is now the place that he is exalted. They didn't understand when they first read that passage in John chapter 12. They didn't understand what was going on. Hosanna, Hosanna, the king. They didn't quite understand until he was glorified. And at this moment, it's all coming together. They're understanding he is the king. At the place where he was anointed, the way he was hailed, and now he's being enthroned as king. Jesus has a heavenly realm. A heavenly realm and a heavenly reign. That is why we confess Jesus is Lord. That's why we confess Jesus is Christ. He said, Jesus is King. He is Messiah. He is the Anointed One. That's the only reason we do that, because he is reigning as King. Today, right now, all the time. In heaven, he is reigning as King. And he is exalted, and he is glorified. You know how he entered that glory? By suffering. He entered that glory by suffering on the cross. He said, we're coming to grace, and now the disciples are seeing him lifted up. As he is blessing them, he is lifted up, and they are exalting and glorifying him as king. Jesus reigns as king from then until now and forever, and as king, he is a king sitting on his throne, waiting for all to turn to him, to repent and turn to him, to reveal him as you are Lord, you are king, and you are king. The Holy Spirit be with you, so you can proclaim the Lord. And as his people, we become members of his kingdom. As his people, we become the true restored people of Israel. You know, as the disciples were walking down the road and their faces were downcast, and Jesus comes up to them, and they don't know it's him yet. And Jesus comes up to them, and why are your faces so down? And they said, we had thought he was the one who was going to restore Israel. He is the one. He is the one. He is the one. And we as his people are the true restored Israel. And what makes you the true restored Israel? The ones who have confessed that Jesus is Lord and Christ. We as his people become the church. We're gathered together. Those who have confessed. We are here together because we have confessed and obeyed the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. We have become and aligned ourselves as his people, identified ourselves as people of the King, of Jesus the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior. And he had looked just previously what he had done to his disciples. He lifted up what he had just said to them before he led them out to Bethany. Go in peace. You are my witnesses. He commissions them. And he commissions us still today to go out and preach repentance and the forgiveness of sin to all people. And to be my witnesses, to give your life for this king. Because what happens if we die? We live. And you don't have to be afraid. He says, I'm with you. And you know how I'm with you? With the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the power from high, is coming up. Amen? Amen. And the response. Oh, what was the response?
his response at this moment. He led them out to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blesses them. And while he's blessing them, he is lifted up and was taken up into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, the place where Jesus did most of his teaching, a lot of his work, because he's praising God. They worshiped probably with lifted up hands. You know, another name for worship is to kiss towards God. You know, if I'm going to kiss that way or point, one of the kisses is to lifting up God. You know, a lifting up hand, or it may be a falling down before the Lord. They worshiped him as he was being ascended and exalted as king. He is the king. He is reigning on high. Praise the Lord, expressing their love for God. Not caring who all would see, but wanting all to see and know that he is king. You know, he blessed them, and what did they do? They returned with blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. You are loved by God to love others. And they said they were filled with joy. You know, because of they were forgiven. And to show joy, you're forgiven to give forgiveness to others. You've been shown mercy to show mercy to others. The Lord has given you his grace so that you can be graceful to others. And that brought them so much joy to be able to be a part of that and to continue the work of the Lord. They worshiped him and they were filled with joy and they were praising in the temple. Jesus, we're going to join right now in a time of worship. And I'm going to ask that you stand for this time of worship. If your arms grow weary or your legs grow really weary, someone else just hold them up. You know? But if you need to sit, that's okay. But I encourage you, if you can, in the next several minutes, what if you stood up for a long time for? Let's stand up for this time of worship. We're going to praise God for a
stretch here, and then we'll offer an invitation to lift up and let us worship the King who reigns.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us thy Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him. Sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So lofty the world that he gave us his Son. Who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come. to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's rich, from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at its feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and praise him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and praise him, Lord of all. Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of my praise. O holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing, great are you, Lord, worthy of praise. Holy and true, great are you, Lord, most holy Lord. Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of my praise. O holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing, great are you, Lord, worthy of praise. Holy and true, great are you, Lord, most holy. holy Lord. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp the definite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
You're invited this morning to respond to Jesus. Confess Him as Lord. Confess Him as Christ. To obey the gospel. Join Him in baptism. To die with Him. To live with Him. To be resurrected. Until we come together as this body, we are here because we believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He lived. He died. He rose again, and He is reigning as King, and He is coming back.